Hello, dear listener, it's Daniel. Now, before we get to this episode, just want to remind you, me and Core just launched a Patreon. For $7 a month, you can get exclusive content. Now, how do you sign up for said exclusive content? Well, we made it easy. There's a link down in the show notes, or go to patreon.com/litdpod. We'll see you soon. Now, let's get to today's episode.
Spent the night at a friend's house and I was sleeping on the couch. It's like the couch and then behind me was the kitchen and it's just super dark and pitch black dark. And I remember like trying to watch a show and like by the show I saw the silhouette of like a little girl. I could feel that little girl. And then immediately like behind me I felt this just like overwhelming darkness. And I had this like feeling that it was gonna come for me. It was even surprising to me just recently converting to Christianity. I remember like going to a Christian church in Utah for like a couple of weeks before I was going to Florida. And I like kind of asked someone about deliverance and they were like, what? I don't know what that is. And so it's like, it's hard when like even Christians who are following Christ don't understand the power of the devil. They don't understand that he is on this earth. Got brainwashed in these ideologies because up was down and down was up and black was white and white was black and good was evil and evil was good and light was, you know, all of that. It warped my definition of words even. The freedom I found in Christ is that I can come as I am with Christ. I don't need to bring sage to clear the energy. I don't need to bring a rock to like, you know, I don't need to bring all this stuff. I literally just have Jesus and that's all I need.
Welcome, truth seekers, light bearers, and the lost to the Light in the Darkness podcast.
We hope this show can shed some light on whatever leg of the journey you're on. We are your hosts. I'm Corey.
And I'm Daniel. Welcome back, everybody. Today's going to be a great episode, and you know, we're really getting to that time of year, Core. And something that I would like to address is the topic of the stocking stuffer. There's so many things to put in someone's stocking and you have to ask yourself, should I or should I not? But if you want that surefire, I don't have to question the motives behind this gift, the agenda therein, or even all the uses that this, you know, product could achieve. You know, like what comes to mind for you? What are you putting in someone's stocking?
Oh, gift cards, candy. I like to put Vienna sausages and potted meat in there because everybody needs a little bit of protein.
Can I blow your mind for a second?
I don't know if you possibly could.
What about an LITD sticker?
Oh my gosh. Damn, you mad genius.
I didn't think anything could move that meticulous hair, but I just blew his mind to this product all over the walls. Guys, these things are great. They'll fit in basically your general size stocking. And for a first time donation at where, Core?
LITDpod.com/support or by clicking on the support the show link down in the show notes.
Either one of those effortless options and we'll send one directly to your front door. Now, today's episode has a great guest. That is Alexia. She's got one heck of a testimony. She's got one heck of a personality. And you are going to fall in love with our new sister in Christ. Core, could you tell them a little bit more about her?
I would be oh too happy to tell the folks about Lexi. My wife, my beautiful wife, stumbled across a little testimony video on the Tickle Tockle. And this testimony was a slideshow with a bunch of words written over all the pictures where this girl is unpacking her history of growing up in Mormonism, moving to New Ageism, being committed to a mental health facility, meeting Jesus, going through deliverance, and her newfound freedom in Christ. And Megan sent me this TikTok and said, "This looks like you boys. This has you written all over it." So prayed about it. It took a little while to get Daniel over the whole TikTok thing, but eventually he was like, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it.
got past the social media demon. Look, is there a demon under every social media platform?
Yes.
Probably.
Yes.
But sometimes good comes from it. This is a fantastic story. I'm sure you're hearing all the things Corey said and you're thinking, wow, this sounds fascinating. Well, it is.
So Lexi will be referencing her testimony slideshow many times during this interview, and she is absolutely phenomenal. We are very excited to have her come on the show and share her testimony. In fact, we're so excited that I am going to quit my yapping. Without further ado, let's get to it.
We have, as you may have heard on the episode you listened to, a tradition. We like to go back to the very beginning, because that's a very fine place to start. So if you would, take us back to the beginning, set the spiritual atmosphere of how you grew up, and then I'll let you take it from there into the tale of Alexia.
Okay, great. So I grew up in Utah, which is predominantly, it's very, very Mormon, which that church, it's, they claim that they're Christian, and that's debatable, but it stands for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And this man, Joseph Smith, claimed that Heavenly Father and Jesus came to him in a vision and said that all the churches that he was searching for, this was like in the 1800s-ish, all the churches that he was searching for were not true, and that the true church needed, it was an apostasy. So Joseph Smith translated what is now the Book of Mormon. It's basically another testament of Jesus Christ in the Americas. That's what it's believed to be. So I grew up in church, you know, Sunday once a week. We read the Bible, but we also read the Book of Mormon and a couple other books that Joseph Smith had translated and written. Growing up, the Bible was always kind of a second citizen compared to the Book of Mormon. Like, I never even really read through the Bible. I never, you know, it was always the Book of Mormon. That was always the book that I was like trying to get through, which I never even got through that one because it was just hard for me to read it. But I grew up and I left that religion about when I was 18. I look back at my faith and it was this just very black and white, all or nothing, no other option kind of a religion for me personally. I wasn't like, I've talked to people who have been in the church before too, but as a kid, I would hear the name Christian or I would see even a cross and I thought it was evil, which I know they don't teach that, but like they don't adopt the sign of a cross in the religion, which I see the cross as like what Christ overcame for us. That's like a whole nother subject, just how Mormonism can, you know, it sometimes can like be hand in hand with Christianity, but sometimes it like has very contradictory ideas. So I guess growing up, I didn't have any other option of worshiping God of the Bible and having a relationship with Jesus. It was more so focused on religion. And I always just felt like I was falling short. I always felt like I was never enough. And I just went through this like roller coaster of, you know, I would make a mistake and then I'd have to confess my sin to a bishop and feel really terrible and uncomfortable. And then I thought that I was done and clean. And like, I never really cultivated a relationship where I'm on my knees praying to Jesus in my quiet place. It was looking outward of being like, okay, am I following this set of rules? Am I being modest? Am I just this checklist kind of a faith? And that's how most of Utah is. So that was kind of my upbringing. My parents, I love my parents so much. They're still in the church and thankfully they've been so supportive of my Christian, my new religion or my new relationship with God because it includes Jesus. So I try to be respectful of the ideology and, but I will say that I don't believe that Joseph Smith was a true prophet. And I think that there's a lot of like contradictory things where, yeah. So so growing up, it was just the basis of it was that I just didn't feel like I ever really connected with God and never really had a true relationship with Jesus. And then after that, I was like, okay, religion doesn't work for me. It's too judgmental. I didn't think that Christianity was an option. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to leave it. So I left it all pretty much when I was 18. I kind of had little spurts of like, oh, I want to get closer with God, but I never really followed through with it. So that was like my upbringing spiritually, like religiously. That's kind of what I experienced.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, normally we hear, I went to Sunday school, or we didn't go to church, but you grew up in an entirely different religion. Dang.
Yeah. Yeah. It has similarities, but it also, like, we learn about Jesus and the birth of Jesus and talk a lot about Jesus, but it's also Joseph Smith, the founder of the church, is put on a platform too. Like, when people say their testimonies, they're like, I testify that Joseph Smith was a true prophet. I testify this. I testify the Book of Mormon is the true. And their whole like ideology is that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the one and only true church. And it also has just different views of heaven. They don't even really believe in hell. There's like three kingdoms of heaven and then outer darkness. And it's just a lot of complicated things that I feel like would mainly just take away the focus on Jesus, and even like focusing on a lot of what he taught when he was on earth. It's like, that's kind of just in a second class citizen kind of space. Like Joseph Smith was always, I feel like I learned more about Joseph Smith growing up than I did about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you know, that could have just been, that was me personally. Like people could be like, no, we taught about Jesus, you know, but yeah. So when I was 18, I moved to Hawaii for a semester, and I went to a church school. It was BYU Hawaii in Oahu. And I remember that was the first time I had lived on my own, and I stopped going to church, and I stopped like really caring too much about religion and God, and kind of just wanted to be on my own. And I have always been a very free-spirited person. Like as a teenager and stuff growing up, I would like wear boho clothes and like loved holistic and hippie kind of stuff. And I think that's what like drew me most into the idea of a higher power without God, without the God of the Bible, without Jesus. And that's where it was like, some people will leave Mormonism and then they'll go to atheism and not even believe in God. I believe that there was something. I didn't believe in my head. God was just like an angry man up in the sky. And that's how I saw him. Like, I just saw him as like a mean, stern person. And I never cultivated a genuine relationship with God. So even having an upbringing, learning about God and Jesus, I never really truly got that relationship. It was more so focusing on the religion and all of that. And so when I was going to school in Hawaii, that's when I kind of slowly fell away from Mormonism, but I never really like officially left. But until like probably 6 months later or so. So I went home from BYU Hawaii. When I got home, that's where I kind of wanted to cultivate a relationship with a higher power, but I didn't want it to be with God of the Bible because I had religious trauma. So I definitely kind of started to look more into other ways that I could like increase my spirituality. Like that's what I was on a kick of, like, oh, I don't want to be religious. I want to be spiritual, because religion just had such a tainted face for me because of one experience, you know, my personal experience. So did I mention that I've always been a free spirit?
Yes.
boho clothes.
So, yes. Hippie-ish. Yes. I remember that's you saying.
Yes. Like in high school, I literally started giving myself dreads, like a third of my head, and decided not to do that, which I'm grateful I didn't do that. But like, that's, I love, you know, just kind of that free spirited, like, you know, horses are my favorite animal. Just like the idea, like, I just want to be free, you know? So like, being in such a restricted religion and not knowing God was like my worst nightmare. So being an adult, and I was like, wow, my parents aren't going to force me to go to church. I can just, you know, decide what I believe in and all that good stuff. So I started to like look into crystals and started buying crystals and started to listen to spiritual podcasts and kind of just like go into this other world of trying to be more aware of myself and trying to self-progress and, you know, like just be very spiritual. So that was when I was, 19. Yeah. About 19. I had just gotten back from Hawaii. I was going to move out into my own apartment. This was the week that I was going to move into my new apartment. And I remember, so I had smoked weed probably once or twice before this, or, you know, just a handful of times. I had never really done it a lot, but I remember the day after I'd moved into my apartment, my new roommates, I had two roommates and they wanted to smoke. So I was like, okay, yeah, let's smoke, whatever. So we smoked, and that put me into this state of like even becoming more aware, like, and I do not condone smoking. I'm sober now, but it was this experience where it was almost like this psychedelic experience where I was like, wow, there's so much more than just like us as physical beings. Like, we are so spiritual. And like, I started to get very obsessed about like that kind of thing. So after that happened, I went into this like psychosis where I was obsessing over spiritual numbers. I don't know if you guys have heard, or angel numbers.
Break that down for us.
It's like, you know, 111, 222, 333. And like in the new age kind of movement, a lot of people will, they see this and they connect it. It's kind of like a form of divination. Like, you see that number, and for each number, there's a special meaning. Like 111 means follow your intuition, and 222 means like kind of ballpark that like you're going to have like some, you know, something happen. So I started seeing those a lot, and I got into this like psychosis where I thought that like everything was a sign from a higher being, and like was just in this very like altered state of mind. And yeah, so and as you guys saw on the slideshow, the moment that I did start dabbling into the new age stuff and I smoked weed, I went into this spiritual psychosis where I just like wasn't in normal reality, and I was super like just super obsessive over about like of just like having higher messages, like of a higher being. And so this happened for 2 days. I was just kind of in this heightened sense, but I was never like, I wasn't doing anything crazy, but my family could tell that I was like very different. I was very, you know, I wasn't the perfect little Lexi. So this story is kind of crazy, but this will kind of like show my story, because my story it is like, and this is why I got so much peace posting my slideshow testimony, because it's kind of a simplified version, but so many people could relate to it. And so with that being said, like my sisters, they took me to the hospital, and they didn't tell me that they were taking me to the hospital. They just said that they're like, oh, let's go shopping, and they made me go into the hospital. And I got checked into a mental institute, and I remember when that happened, I was just so confused, because I thought that I was having a spiritual awakening, and I thought that I was like becoming close to source or to my higher being or my angels, or just like, you know, it was just very like just this big snowball, like going down a hill, just like building more and more into a mess. And anyway, so I was in the hospital for a week, and that was a whole, that was a very, very trippy experience. And I won't go too far into that first episode that I had, the psychosis, because the second one was where it was very like, it ties in a lot to my relationship with God now and my faith. But yeah, that happened, and I got diagnosed with a mental disorder, and I was pumped with medication. I felt like a zombie. I was in the hospital for a week, and I got out. And after that, I felt so misunderstood. I felt like I had found this truth, but I just like was getting just torn down, and like my family didn't want me to be happy. And I know that wasn't like their intentions at all either, but that happened. And that's where like my whole life changed. Like everything that I thought was true was no longer true. I lost a lot of people, lost a lot of confidence in myself, was super confused, felt super lost. And at this time I was just living in an apartment in Utah and working and going to school. Then like 6 months later, 7 months later, I had another psychosis happen. And this was, at this point I was smoking weed, which I feel like that opens a lot of doors to darkness to take over. I was working with a therapist, and I feel like this is very important to talk about with trauma, because I was unveiling some trauma that I had experienced as a child. That started to, it was like my subconscious couldn't handle the truth. So I went into this state of making everything very delusional. So this second episode, it was like 8 months after I was in the hospital. And after that, like everything was pretty much normal. Like nothing was wrong. And then like I had this happen again, started unveiling some trauma. And then my like protective part of me just like went off the rails. And I went into this very like a lot of delusion again. And this time I checked myself into a hospital. And this time the hospital experience was very like, it didn't click until I got deliverance like a month ago through a brother and sister in Christ. And while I was getting that deliverance, a lot of memories were popping back up of when I was in the hospital. And in the hospital, I remember every night I went to bed, and this is kind of tying into like the first time I experienced like paranormal things happening and kind of torment. I experienced every night before going to bed, I felt like something was going to take over me. I had this sense that like I was going to die, but not, and it was this inner feeling like I knew I wasn't going to die physically, but I felt this sense that like this darkness was going to take over my soul. Like my body wasn't going to die, but my spirit was going to die. And even at that point, I look back at what I was thinking, and I was not a follower of God. I was not a follower of Christ. I remember over and over in my head, it was like, I would rather have, you know, I was telling this to myself. I'm like, I would rather physically die than spiritually die. I'd rather physically die than spiritually die, because I feel like I was definitely unstable, but my spiritual eyes were open, that I was seeing things for what they were. And there are people that are walking around today that are not, like, they are not spiritually alive. Like they are spiritually sleeping. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19, is that the one? But it's like, know ye not that your body is a temple and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? And I've had this realization that it's like, if the Holy Spirit isn't dwelling in you, like there's other spirits, like just how in Buddhism or people make these wood idols, a spirit dwells in that idol to worship. And I just feel like during that time, I was just very, my eyes were just very open to things. And it was scary. So like every night, yeah, I had that. And then I had this was really, really crazy, but it was almost like I had adopted like Tourette's syndrome. Like I was ticking a ton. Like my head was ticking and like my, you know, just a lot of ticking. And it was almost at this point where like, and if I was around a certain person, cause you have to remember, like, it is crazy being in a mental institute, in a behavioral health, where you are with people who are unstable. And I mean, like, yeah, I was, but certain people that I was around, my body would start to tick a ton. And even, it was like uncontrollable. So there was ticking. Every night I was going to bed feeling like something was going to take over me. I remember one night, and I had talked to my dad about this actually recently, but I kind of opened up to him a bit about like the paranormal things that I experienced in the hospital. He told me, he's like, yeah, when I visited you, you really did not seem like you. Like you seemed like it was you and I saw you, but you weren't Alexia. Like it was someone else. And I remember there was one night where it was really late and I was walking around the halls and I couldn't sleep. And I felt this just like, I was in my body and I am Alexia, right? I'm walking through the halls, but I felt this sense that like, I wasn't Alexia. Like I had this very seductive energy, which I'm not a seductive person. I'm not like trying to be like sleazy and seductive, but there was this older man, this nurse and this woman nurse, and they were just talking, it's late. And I remember like, and I was not attracted to this guy nurse. He was like, he's mid, you know, probably like late 40s or 50s. But I had this like spirit in me that was like trying to like, to tempt him, to seduce him. And I remember, cause there's like glass and I just remember like being like, hi, like just trying to distract him. And this did not click for me until like I've found God in my life and have been able to like look back at those experiences that I had, but they both were like kind of ignoring me. And I remember very clearly both of them bowing their heads very, very slightly, eyes closed, and just quietly, like I could tell so clearly that they were praying for me. And I didn't realize that at the time. And even looking back, I know that that wasn't me, that seductive nature. And I totally, even in that moment, I was like, there are like different parts of me. That's what I was calling. I was like, oh, there's Alex, this guy is in me. And this like, I remember in the hospital, I was drawing a lot, and I was writing backwards as well. And there was this time, and I know this sounds crazy, but there were just things that were happening that were just very, you know, unnatural to me. And I'm usually a very stable person. But I remember writing my notebook, like me as a little girl, like a little drawing of me. And then I had behind me this big shadow drawing and I named it Roxy. And this is stuff that like I had never thought about, as you know, but like it was this deep sense of like knowing that there was something that was like, there was something that was trying to take over my life. And I just felt prompted to share this, just going into the supernatural. Before I went to the hospital, I spent the night at a friend's house, a family friend, and she's like, yeah. Anyways, I spent the night at her house and I was sleeping on the couch, and it's like the couch, and then behind me was the kitchen, and it's just super dark and black, pitch black dark. And I remember like trying to watch a show, and I was watching a show, and then like by the show, I saw the silhouette of like a little girl. But, and I won't say like, it was like a shadow of it. And I don't know if I was just, but I could feel that little girl. But the thing is that right away in my head, I was like, that's just like, is that just like the darkness of me? Like, is that like the little girl that got neglected as a child? Like, is that just me that, you know? And then immediately like behind me, I felt this just like overwhelming, just darkness, like this energy that was almost unbearing to even feel. Like, it was behind me. And I just was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't. And I had this like feeling that it was going to come for me. Like if I didn't like get up and run, literally. So I like got up and I ran to my, this lady's door who was letting me stay at her house. And it was her and her husband. And I was knocking and I was knocking. And I was like, please help me, please help me, please help me. And she came out and she's like very, you know, I think she understood what was happening, but like, you know, was just not really saying anything. But after that moment, and then following that into the hospital, all that stuff happening to me, it was very, very supernatural, very scary. I was being tormented by literal demons, and I did not realize it at the time at all. So I, you know, and even the hospital, they're just like giving me medication, and it breaks my heart because when I got out of the hospital, I hated myself. I hated myself. And I was like, I'm crazy. I guess I just have to accept this diagnosis. I just wanted to forget all that had happened. So that's kind of what I did. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to forget that happened. I'm going to accept that I just am cursed. I didn't like, it kind of just blew over my head that I had experienced literal, like, tormenting of these dark entities. And, you know, it really didn't ever click until just recently when I learned the spiritual war that we are in, you know, in this day and age, and learning that Satan is real. Satan is real. And, you know, it was even surprising to me just recently converting to Christianity. And I know there's so many denominations and it can get confusing, but I remember like going to a Christian church in Utah for like a couple of weeks before I was going to Florida. And I like kind of asked someone about deliverance and they were like, what? I don't know what that is. And so it's like, it's hard when like even Christians who are following Christ don't understand the power of the devil. They don't understand that he is on this earth and a third of his, you know, a third of the fallen angels are here. So yeah, that was a huge, you know, and I even look back and this is where I am so grateful for God, because he's helped me to look at that, you know, 19-year-old girl and give her a hug and tell her that I'm there for her and I love her and that she doesn't need to hate herself and that it wasn't her fault and that she didn't get the help that she deserved. But, you know, you can't blame anyone because now, like, I understand what I was going through, and I hope that like what I went through can help other people who are being tormented, that it's not just their brain. It's not just their physical body. Like, yes, there's gray areas and whatever, but like what was happening to me, I was alone. And that's where I see that God was with me all along. And I don't know what I would have done if he, you know, like if I didn't realize that I had him, like, I don't know where I'd be now too. So, do you guys have any questions so far? Because I can continue to.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's probably going to progress in the story. You made a really good point, and I want to double down on your point. You spoke earlier about the fact of you know, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and we are vessels. And at that time, you know, for you, you had been interacting, whether you knew it or not, with spirits and spirituality and crystals and the angel numbers. There were spirits around, and you are a vessel. And at that time, maybe an empty vessel. And then other things started going, hey, you know what? Empty vessel. Why don't we attach? Why don't we fill? And it, you know, for anybody listening to this episode, it's important to know you are a vessel. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell within you, if you are not a born again believer, you're still an open vessel. And there are things that want to fill you.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. That was a huge realization for me. And that's what's hard is I don't understand why people don't think that even Christians could have, you know, demonic oppression, because there is a huge difference. It's not like people are walking around. And for me, I wasn't possessed. Like my conscious was not ever overtaken, but I still had, you know, in areas of my life, I was craving things that I usually wouldn't crave. And my, you know, I was thinking ways that I usually wouldn't think. So it's more of just like these like entities can steer you in ways that you wouldn't do in your free will and that you wouldn't want to do if you had Jesus with you.
Yeah, that's all very interesting. The things you were experiencing in the mental health facility, like you said, you were writing backwards, you were walking around acting out of the norm with a seductive spirit. It's just interesting how in this state of brokenness, it like opened the door for these spirits to come in more strongly than they would have before. And it's like in this place of vulnerability, this place of brokenness that you find yourself in, you're even more susceptible than you would be in a normal everyday scenario. And it's like you're finding yourself doing things you would never do by your own account, of trying to seduce a guy you didn't even, you know, like find attractive whatsoever. And I just love, I love the point you made that you could tell that they bowed their heads and they were praying for you. That just really, we never know when something we do, a prayer prayed under our breath, can actually make a difference in someone's life. And just one plea to God for someone else, even when that person is doing things that are undesirable, even when those people are living lifestyles that are contradictory to our values, our beliefs, even when they're doing things and exhibiting behaviors that are possibly repulsive to us, that quick prayer, that moment of coming before your Father and just praying on behalf of another person. I think that that prayer that they prayed for you, I think it was probably significant in the part of your story that's forthcoming of you meeting Jesus.
Oh, the good part. Looking forward to it.
Yes. And that's where I think like there's a lot with some trauma that I may have experienced as a child that, you know, demons can enter through trauma. It's not fair, but they do. It can enter through trauma, through open doors of like, you know, practicing demonic religious rituals that people don't realize. It's like, even if you unknowingly practice these things, you are still doing it. Like, it doesn't change that you are doing this thing, even if it's with good intention. And I'd like to also just say that the second time of me visiting a hospital, there was like a good 8 months where I was practicing, like carrying around crystals. I was still kind of smoking weed, smoking in a way where I was like, I want to connect with my higher being, with source. And I was practicing like meditations of trying to meet my spirit guide. So yes, I was opening a lot of doors. And once I got triggered with some trauma that I'd actually experienced, I believe that these demons like took that as a way to go and run with it. Like it was like this just roller coaster where they just like ran with it. And that's what kind of put me into the hospital. And like, then even there, I was even more alone. Like I didn't have anyone to talk to. That happened. And then once I got out of the hospital, I just really hated myself. Honestly, I was super embarrassed because, you know, like I won't sugarcoat it. I was embarrassing, not embarrassing, but like, I obviously was not okay. So like, I'm not like showing hate towards, I mean, just being in a hospital, that's like a whole other thing. It was really, really, really like a mind game. And you feel like you're a prisoner. Like it's, you definitely are held against your will in a way. And a lot of rights are taken away. But once I got out, I decided that I wanted to go work in Florida and go work on boats because I felt like my hometown and where I grew up at this season of my life, it was so toxic for me. And I felt like my family had to be there. Thankfully, I thank God that they were there for me. But I felt like now that they were just like thought that I couldn't do anything. And I just felt like all my dreams were crushed. Like I just felt like I didn't deserve anything anymore. So I decided to move to Florida and work on boats. So that was last year in September. I went to Fort Lauderdale, got trained, and I ended up getting on a yacht and worked in the Bahamas and the Caribbean for 7 months. That was actually, I feel like that was a little a blessing, a big blessing that, like, I think even though I wasn't following God, he was still looking out for me. And I really do believe that he wanted me to get out of my hometown and you know, be on my own. And yeah, I didn't have anything happen, very stable. And I was still, but at that point I was still carrying around crystals. I was still, you know, doing all of the New Age stuff, which we can get into that more, but like, just, yeah, just practicing the spirituality side. There was maybe like, there was a little spurt in time, probably like a week or two long, time frame where I like decided that I wanted to try to read the Bible. So it was this like little like baby spark, but then it died really fast. And I was like, no, this is not it. So I just continued to do my thing. But yeah, so then I got back, I decided to, okay. So while I was on my boat, I worked with this engineer. He has a van, like a VW camper van, and he had it in Florida in storage. And at this point we were in the Caribbean, and he was like, Alexia, like, you've talked about how you want to like drive in a van someday. He's like, do you want to drive my van home? And I was like, yes, I would love that. Like, it was just such a beautiful, like, the way it just worked.
What's so, more hippie than a van and a VW van
no, at I that?
No, right?
Hippie mobile, yes. Right on.
I know, my biggest dream. So I took advantage of that. So yeah, I flew back to Florida and I did a road trip back. And this is kind of where like that was just like 7 months ago or something. But that's where I met this man on, I was in Amelia Island, Florida, this really beautiful small town place. And I did a beach ride, a horse beach ride. And I met this man named Stan. He was, he had like brought these horses to Florida with his wife. And, yeah, I just was talking to him on the horseback ride, and I was just hearing about his life. And then he kind of like trickled Jesus in there. And I was like, okay, whatever. But like, I kind of just let him talk to me about him. And he was like, well, like, if you ever want to, I told him about my upbringing and that I don't really, you know, I'm not really into Christianity or whatever. But he's like, well, if you ever need help finding a church, like, I can get your email. Like, I'll send you churches to worship nearby and whatever. So that was kind of like a little seed planted. And I also would like to, another seed that had been planted was my brother. He's like 2 years older than me, but he's still in the Mormon church. And he sent me this email like a couple months prior to me leaving to go on my road trip. But he sent me an email saying that he was watching this video, and it was this video of an ex New Age girl who had been practicing yoga for like 10 years and was super into astrology and all this stuff. It was this video on how she like found God. And he told me to watch that. And it's basically where she just says exactly now what I believe, like that yoga is demonic, astrology is divination, and it opens doors to entities, right? So I watched that, and then I remember him kind of saying a little bit more, and he's like, I honestly would not have sent this unless the Holy Spirit told me to. Like, please don't take this the wrong way. But he said that, like, when you do yoga, it's more, they will tell you in a yoga class that it's more than poses. It's more than stretching. There's ancient meaning to this. And same with crystals. It's more than rocks. And he said, like, the problem with that is that those ancient meanings directly oppose Jesus. And he said, there are only two leaders, you know, there's only two, you know, it's God and Satan. That's basically what he said. He said it very straight up. And he said, all ideologies other than the true gospel of Jesus are led by Satan, and that Satan wants us to worship ourselves. And that he just went on this thing. And I remember, and now me saying all this, it's like stuff that I fully am like, yeah, yes. But when he sent me that, I was livid. I was angry. I was like, that is so disrespectful. What about Hinduism? What about Buddhism? Like, and for me at that time, I was like, people, like religion and people worshiping God, it's all the same God. It's all the same God. It's just being like light and love. That's what it's all about. But now I've like learned better, but he sent me that. And I completely, and that's where I can really relate to people who get a very quick judgment of like, that is just extreme. Like you're being too extreme when you say that, but you know, the reality is it's not that extreme. But yeah, so my brother had sent me that email. So I say like those two situations was where I think it kind of planted a little seed, but you know, it just barely grew. That was like 7 months ago. But yeah, so when I went home and I was in Utah, I just was kind of camping and hiking and doing.
You said your brother is still in the LDS church and he sent you all this. Is that what I just wanted to clarify that?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. That's wild.
You know, I was thinking the whole time, that's a big brother right there looking out for little sister. Like, you know what? You're going to be really mad at me for this, but you got to watch this video. I'm a big brother. Yes. I get it. It's what we do.
Exactly. Yeah. And I told him, I'm like, I'm so grateful that you sent me that. Cause I called him like a couple weeks ago and I was like, Lincoln, that email aged like a fine wine. And he was like, and this is what was so crazy. Like Alexia, when I sent that email to you, I told Dad, I hope that this email ages like a fine wine.
Wow.
Like you use the same exact term phrasing. And I'm just like, God is so good. The way that he planted that seed. And yeah, so that was, I feel like that was such a good, you know, and the Holy Spirit really did talk, because in part of his email, he was like, look out for narcissistic jargon. Like I'm just freaking myself. I can save myself. Like just doing me, like just do what makes you happy. And I think like subconsciously, then I started to like catch myself when all I was really caring about was what I was doing and like myself. But yeah, so I got home and I was in this place where I'm like, wow, I know what I believe in. I was so like firm and like, you know, just mindfulness and meditation and like creating and manifesting. I got super into manifesting, made like my own vision board and was like, okay, I'm going to like save up a bunch of money and buy real estate and then do this and that. And like, I just was so, which that is nothing wrong, but I just didn't have like the most important aspect, which is God. That's what I was missing. I was missing, you know, that void. And, I also, yeah, you know, and at that point I was like, okay, well, I have this mental disorder. And then I had gotten diagnosed with PCOS, which is a hormone disorder. And just a little tangent on that, the PCOS, which I think is just crazy. But while I was in the hospital the second time and I was experiencing this, you know, paranormal, like just not, I was not myself. And I knew that. But I remember going to the hospital, I was convinced that something was wrong with my ovaries. Like I had, nothing was wrong with my ovaries at that point. I was, you know, like I was healthy, but I was like, I have ovarian cancer. I'm going to get cancer in my ovaries, like my womb, like all this stuff. I was just so convinced. And I put that belief out there. And then, you know, fast forward 6 months later, I started to have issues with my reproductive organs, with my womb, with my hormonal imbalance. So, I mean, it just was crazy to me that even like my belief was so strong in that, I feel like that planted something where I started to legit, my body started to break down. So this is what was funny is that I went into, you know, I was a super happy, healthy girl before getting into the spirituality, woo woo, like new age stuff. And then going into it, you know, I'm in this like 1 year journey so far or whatever. And I, at that point, I had gotten diagnosed with a mental disorder, gotten diagnosed with a hormonal disorder. My body felt like it was literally breaking down and I was still trying to heal. I was doing yoga, trying to heal. I was doing meditation, trying to heal. I was trying to quantum jump, try to heal, and literally all this stuff. So it was just ironic that the things that I was doing to try to heal me were the things that were bringing the issues in the first place.
Mm. Yes. Would you say that's kind of the trap right there that you found with New Age? There are all these things that are supposed to self-promote, self-heal, self-self, 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 self, when really you know, the sleight of hand is, you know, it's like, look over here, but really you are opening all these doors and you are opening yourself up to all these things. Like, I feel so many times we're looking for all these easy routes to enter the spiritual realm, like this almost fast food relationship. Yeah. Like, how do I get this now? And all the while, yeah, the enemy is just slowly weaving this web around us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's this like endless strain of modalities to heal, because like even just new age spirituality is just like an umbrella term for, you know, ancient religions, you know, like, I mean, like new age, I was unknowingly practicing Hinduism because I was doing yoga, which yoga is rooted in a lot of Hindu beliefs. There's nothing wrong with stretching, but you're doing a spiritual practice. And then, you know, crystals, that's idolatry. And you're putting all of your faith. I was putting all of my faith into these rocks. I was carrying around a certain crystal for the day. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to wear citrine and carnelian, and this is going to help with my creativity and money. It was like full on idolatry. So it's like this never ending chain of, yeah, like if something doesn't work, you always have another thing. And then when I would get any kind of like break from my, you know, from my pain, or like felt like I was excelling spiritually, it was like, wow, this is working. But I just feel like it's, you know, you'll get a little, like this stuff does work, but then it comes with a price.
Hmm.
Like Satan will give you what you want, but it's not free. Like you're going to pay a price.
Yeah.
And there's always that, like, the bait and switch.
Yeah.
Like, we just had a guest, we released an episode. She's now a deliverance minister, but she grew up in France. And her parents would take her to witch healers. And they didn't really talk about the fact, like, she said, in French, the witch drops off and it's just healers. And she's like, sometimes we would go and I would be healed. Sometimes I would go and I wouldn't be, but I knew that the spiritual reality was there. And it's like, yes, you might receive what you're looking for, but there's always a price to pay. Mama Bear Pastor Shelley McWilliams talks about how she has gone and been in a deliverance session with people, and all of a sudden, like, wounds open, or like physical things open, or like start to go wrong. And she's like, wait, what is going on right now? And they're like, well, I went to a healer and I got healed from this. Okay, well, let's repent about that. Then we're going to pray for Jesus to heal it. And wow. As Kenneth Hagin used to say, they did, we did, and he did. So it's like, you know, they repented, they prayed for Jesus to heal it, and Jesus healed it in that instant. And it's just, all this stuff comes with a price, and it's like the old rat poison adage, they can't lure a rat in with 100% poison. They have to give you something that's good with a little bit that hopefully you don't even notice. Hopefully you're going to go ahead and keep on eating and keep on gobbling. You're going to keep on chewing. Yes. You're going to keep on processing. And eventually you're going to realize that you're just so full of poison. And that's just really how all these bait and switches of all this different nonsense works.
Yes. Yeah. I feel called this because you talking about healers, I had gone, you know, like probably 3 months ago, I went to this Reiki healer, Reiki. And they do it, you know, it's energy healing. Well, they will put their hands where they need healing and all this stuff. And I remember I got that session and I felt so much better, but like now looking back, I'm like, yeah, it probably worked, but also even being in that space with this healer, because this healer, she owned her own crystal store. So I had first met her because she owned her own crystal store. And I remember her telling me, she's like, I've gone to doctors, because she had like a very, you know, some medical issues herself. So she was like, I struggled so bad. And this stuff was the only stuff that helped. And so I'd gone to her for a Reiki session, and she charged like $130 for like an hour and a half. But like, that's expensive. And also, people treat these Reiki healers like they are certified therapists. But these people don't have any, they are certified in a healing practice, which has roots of, you know, and when she was doing the Reiki healing on me, we were trying to heal like my unbalanced hormones in my womb. and she was calling in like Angel, Archmichael, and calling in angels. And even before we started the session, she had to do this thing where she was like, I protect, I am creating a barrier, a space, like nothing dark can enter. So like, that's what's so hard is that there are so many good, like there are good people that like actually genuinely want to help someone, but they don't know that what they are doing is so dark. Like when I was, you know, looking back at this Reiki healer, I know that she isn't evil. But there's these people that try to be good witches. They try to practice witchcraft in a good light, but you can't do that. It's witchcraft is forbidden from like of God. Like God, all we need is God and Jesus. So, and I remember in part of our thing, she was just talking to me and she was saying, Source is telling you this. Source is telling you, you don't always have to be strong. Source is telling you this. And then later she was like, yeah, and dragons are real. Fairies are real. And she was like, serious.
I don't disagree.
That's for I know. When she was
I guess number one, I'm not shocked that you said the Reiki healer owned a crystal shop. In my mind, I was just like, Of course she owns the crystal shop. Because it's like after, you know, $400 worth of hours later, it's like, you know what you need? You need a crystal to take home.
And we have them on this display case. Sale for this week.
Oh my, if you were having to make barriers and you are afraid angels are gonna attack you, I'm just gonna go ahead and say right there, red flag. Red flag.
Yeah.
Like just
big. Like what I'm, yeah. Yeah.
But that.
That's the thing. It's. Yeah.
And it's deception.
Yeah.
And it comes in layer by layer by layer. And before you know it, you're fully deceived and you don't realize you're deceived at all. Think you know what is the truth. Meanwhile, you don't know up from down. You know, you don't know black from white.
Did you just Shrek that again?
Oh, yeah.
You just Shreked it. You went layers.
I did not Shrek that.
He loves you. Shrek, and Shrek shows up.
This has nothing to do with an onion, sir.
I was going parfait. I was not going onions.
Look, parfaits are delicious. You ever met anybody?
He loves Shrek. It always comes out. Anyway, back to you. Back to you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think the biggest weight off of my shoulders has been... like only, you know, God is my all. Like he is my rock. He gives me everything I need. The Holy Spirit within me gives me all the protection, all the power in this world. Whereas in New Age, I mean, when I was starting to pack, I was like nervous about how I wouldn't be able to fit all my crystals in my bag because they'd be too heavy. Like I had a whole collection of crystals. Probably like at least $700 worth of crystals. I'm not kidding. Like, and I would carry each of these crystals around, especially to like cater to certain needs. And then I was like, oh, do I need to bring my sage? Which sage, if you don't know, it's about you like light it and it's smoky and it like cleanses the area.
Quote unquote.
And then there's, you know, just all these like things, all these tools that you have to have. You don't have to have them in the New Age, but like, that's what's funny is it gets so complicated. Like at first it's just this journey where you're like, all you need is yourself, like just like self-improvement. But then you start to get, you know, oh, this rock will help, or this Reiki session, this will help. And next thing you know, like you're spending so much money. And then you also crave to spend it. Like I would get this like hit of dopamine because I'd spend more money on a crystal and I'd be like, oh, this is going to help me. So it's just, it's so deceptive on so many layers and levels because, you know, like going back to Reiki healing and stuff, people, even if they're doing it in good intention, they are taking advantage of people's weaknesses and traumas, and they are not certified to actually be like really holding space for someone who is not okay. Or, and you know, it's just, there's so many like ethical layers of it as well. But I think the main thing is that the fact that she had to put this like safety spell or protection in the room and declare that she was using this for good, it just means that it is dangerous spiritually to use that. And her saying that dragons are fairy and fairies are real, I feel like spiritually and like there are like these mystical fairy tale things, like there are deeper meanings to them, which I don't know, but like just in her talking, it is true. Cause like you, in New Age, like you were saying, you get into this sense of like, you don't know what truth even is. Like, you think you know this truth, but it's so distorted. And you're like, oh, well, like, I don't know, just all this, like, it just gets so complicated. And that's, I think, what's been so freeing for me is that, like, I came here and I moved to Florida. And I don't have to bring 10 pounds of crystals, of rocks, to like keep me safe. And I don't need to bring all this stuff to help me, because it was all outside of myself. All the healing was all outside of myself. And now with God, it is within, and it's with God and me only. I don't need anything else.
That's so clear and easy to understand. Like, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit resides in you and will give you everything you need.
Yeah.
You know, the past couple minutes, we've been talking about all these layers of New Age, and it's just like, that was so confusing. Even to hear all the things you said, and confusion's not of God. It was almost like this occult pyramid scheme is what I was hearing. It's like, you spend this much money and you're going to feel better. But after that, you're going to want to feel even better. It's like, again, you're filling this bottomless pit. And they're always going to have a new way for you to throw money at this problem, or rub this rock, or have this person wave their hands. But with Jesus, it's so simple. It's so clear cut. Go straight to the King. Like, just, that's so black and white to me, hearing you explain it.
Yeah. And I think, like, the just seeing, looking through all the pyramid scheme, all the confusion, I think when you look at it, it's just a very like confusing version of just worshiping yourself. Like, the main idea is that you can become God. It's like, oh, I would always say this affirmation, like, I am a divine goddess. I am a divine goddess. And like, always just making, almost bringing myself up to this, like, oh, we can all just like self-progress. We don't need anything else. Like, we can heal ourselves. I can do this all by myself. I can do this. Me. So it's just this, like, it really is just self-worship. Even it comes down to it. It's very like self-driven, but it is sad because like it, you know, it's a lot of people go into it with good intentions, but you get just totally like whipped through this, like, very, I mean, other people have different experiences, because you can, you know, some people will go like kind of deep and not deep, but like, I think the saddest part is that Satan corrupts what God has given us. Like, and I talk about this even with crystals, with rocks, there is nothing wrong with crystals. There's nothing wrong with, you know, if I like want to wear a pretty jewel, but it's in the intention where you're like, I, you know, God created the earth. It's beautiful, but I worship God. I don't worship the rock. I worship God. I don't worship the moon. I would do moon rituals. I would, you know, and that's just another, a lot of confusion. But it's worshiping the creations, and even the creation can be like me. Like, I was almost worshiping me to like make myself feel better, to make myself, you know, self-progress. And I think what hit me the most was that I had this moment where I was like, what am I even self-progressing for? Like, who am I helping in all of this? So yeah, so that's kind of just one of the tangent with New Age, but like, that's what I'd been practicing. And it was in September, just like a couple of months ago, I was going to bed, and this is kind of where I had my coming to Christ. And it's like kind of funny, because in all my slideshow, it like seems like it's so hard hitting, but it's like the message that was so deep, because I was scrolling on my phone through TikTok, and I was like, what brought me most to God? And in that moment, I started looking into the Maui wildfires, and I was watching people's, you know, locals talk about their experience. And I had this deep moment where I was like, I put myself in that person's shoes and thought, wow, what if fire just rained down right now? What if that happened to me? And the first thing I thought was, wow, I would be on my knees praying to Jesus. I'd be on my knees saying, please save me, please. It was like almost like transporting this like, what if? And right in that moment, I was like, why am I not doing that now? Like, why wouldn't I? Mm-hmm. I had this moment where I'm like, whoa, I do deep down, I, you know, I wouldn't be holding a crystal if a fire rained down, if like an explosion happened, I would be asking God to just save me, to, and not even if I died physically, but to like save my soul, to hold me, to adopt me. Like, I'm sorry that I didn't, you know, I didn't love you when I could, you know. It's just that moment where like, I couldn't deny because I wasn't asking to feel that way. I remember, you know, waking up the next morning and I was like, seriously, because all in that moment, I was like, oh no, do I have to go back to the Mormon church? Because that's all I knew with God. And I was like, okay, well, if I had this experience with Jesus, then I guess I have to go back to the Mormon church because there's no other option. It's the only true church. So that just goes into where my indoctrination was just spinning off the walls. I was like the black and white mindset where there's no in between. So yeah, like, and I, that night I'd also looked into, I don't know. I just like looked at the world and I'm like, I don't like, this is not it. This world is like going, it's really falling apart. And I even just kind of like looked, I was watching videos on, you know, revelations and prophecies. We are watching them unfold. Like, there are things happening in front of our eyes that the Bible talks about. And in my head, I'm like, you know, I was reading some of the scriptures and I was like, oh my gosh, this is happening? Oh, wow. Okay. And that's where, yeah, the next day that I had a day off. So I was just home alone. And the next day I found the scripture, 2 Timothy 3, that's just saying like, the last days will be terrible. People will only be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, boastful, proud, all that stuff, right? I don't have it memorized, but the first two things that stood out to me so deeply, people will only be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. And I took a step out of my ego and looked at myself and saw me for what I was. And that was that I only loved myself and I loved money. I was creating this, I was trying to manifest my reality at this point. And I had a vision board that had the house that I wanted. And I wanted to move to California and build my own house and have a bunch of money. And I was saying affirmations every day that were just talking about me and me and only me, like I said in my slide. And that's where I had this big hit where I was like, where am I? Like, what am I doing with all this self-progression, quote unquote, which I wasn't even progressing anywhere. I was just becoming, you know, my body was breaking down. I've, you know, felt so lost, but put on this front that I knew everything. And that's where I just surrendered to Christ. And ultimately, like, I apologized. I felt so bad that I was trying to replace him when all he wanted to do was be there for me. Like, yeah. Yeah. So after reading that scripture, and I even at this point, I was penting up a lot of anger towards my parents, which my parents are amazing. They're amazing. But I was just like, I feel like I had this spirit of anger and resentment and unforgiveness and wanted to blame everything on outside of myself. And I remember when I read that scripture, I thought about my parents, and if they were reading that scripture, what would they say about me? And that's where I was like, wow, am I becoming someone that I'm not? Like, is this the road that I'm going down? Because no one's going to, like, if you really don't see, I mean, the world is so, it's so much like that scripture. If you just look at that scripture unbiasedly and read it, you can see that, like, in the world and in mainstream media, in the music industry, it is so self-centered. And even in the self-help industry, even self-help books, if you go outside of the new age woo-woo stuff, the self-help books, it's always about the self. There's no, like, giving to others. And I feel like it's starting to die, that idea of like, oh, when you give to someone else, it's gonna make you feel happy, it's gonna bring happiness as well.
Preach.
You guys have anything to like?
No, I'm just like, no.
I'm talking so much.
No, this is great.
It's just like, check, okay. check, okay. agree.
Yeah, like going in like a whole circle of everything, but Yeah. So after that had happened, I remember that day I was crying nonstop all day, just like talking to God. And when I say talking to God, I'm not going to say, oh, like, he was literally talking to me. It was just this sense of like, wow, he's actually real. He is so real. And that's kind of where I got this just overwhelming feeling like he was just in my soul telling me, like, you don't have to do everything on your own. You don't have to like go and make a bunch of money on your own. You don't have to, like, none of this stuff is going to fill you. Like, let me fill you. Let me be there for you. Let me heal you. Like, the crystals weren't going to heal me. Meditations weren't going to heal me. The religion that I created wasn't going to heal me. No religion was going to heal me. If I didn't have that, if I wasn't in a religion without Christ, they won't heal me. And that was the biggest thing that I realized. It's like, it's about being in the body of Christ. It's not about being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's not about being a member of the Catholic Church. It's not about being a member of this church or that church or that church. It's about the relationship with God. And that was like where I felt so set free. And all day, yeah, I was crying. I started reading the New Testament. And this is another part where God is so beautiful in the little details, because a couple days before I even had my turning to Christ, rewinding back to that man I met on the beach, like on the beach horse ride stand, he sent me a Bible, and I remember him emailing me and being like, hey, can I send you a Bible, a cowboy Bible? And I was like, a cowboy Bible? I was like, I thought that maybe that meant the ropes on how to be a cowboy. Like, I thought he was going to send me a book that was like, okay, you're going to want to put a saddle on a horse, and this is how you do it. So I was like, sure, Stan, like, that's great. But it ended up just being a Bible, just a New Testament Bible that has like little inserts of like cute little cowboy stories to like go along with the scriptures. But it was a New Testament. So I got that Bible 2 days before like I had this coming to God. And then and then the day that I was like, wow, I'm turning my life to you, God, I had this little New Testament to read in my hands. And at the time, I didn't really have any paperback copies, and it just was so beautiful how I had this Bible that I could start reading. And I remember I can't remember where I'd heard this, but I had heard someone say before that, like, if you have any like tainted views of religion or tainted views of God or Jesus, just try to read the New Testament in the eyes of a child. Like, you have no prerequisite knowledge, nothing. And that's what I did. So I started reading, and that was where it really changed for me. Like, just, I remember the first verse that really stood out so deeply in my soul was Matthew, I can't remember the exact verses, but it's like, deny yourselves and take up your cross. Whoever loses their life from, yeah, that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you guys have that memorized. But yeah, just like the idea of just denying yourselves and turning away from our flesh and taking up our cross and following God to be a disciple of Christ. And I remember reading that, and that was like the big hit where I was like, wow, I want to be extreme for God. I want to love him so much. I don't want to be extreme for this church. I don't want to be extreme for saying, okay, well, now I'm not going to drink coffee. I'm not going to wear a tank top. I'm not going to wear this. It's like, I want to be extreme for the love I have for God, not extreme for rules and a religion. And that's where I think it was the biggest difference. Like, it differentiated the past versions of me, like in high school when I would decide to be super Mormon and super devout to the faith. You know, that there's a lot of similarities with, you know, loving Christ and all, but it was always like, oh, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna be follow the rules perfectly. But in this case, I had this moment where I was like, Jesus, I'm gonna love you as hard as I can love you. I'm going to show you that I love you as much as I can love you. And if I have to share my story, if I have to share videos on TikTok, then I'm going to do it. So that's when I started. Like, I remember I recorded a video of me talking about Matthew, denying yourself and taking up your cross. And it scared me so bad. But I remember writing, I was like, I would rather have thousands of people shun me than have God himself say, I never knew you.
Jeez, that's good. Yeah.
Oof.
That's good. Can I get that on the shirt?
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, I teared up a little bit.
We'll make a shirt.
Oh, man. It's so crazy to me just hearing this, that there was this never-ending, like just what you said, like you were almost worshiping yourself, and then you get in the Bible and it's like, no, deny that flesh that you were worshiping. Pick up your cross. Come with me. Let's do work for the kingdom. And here you are, you know, videos on TikTok and weaponizing your testimony for the kingdom. I there's no way the Lord is not smiling on this. Like, as a fellow believer, like, proud of you. This is so cool. So proud of you.
Thank you.
And I love that contrast, that stark contrast of your time in the LDS and the Mormon church of it was all works. It was all do. And there's a lot of people who came from backgrounds in Christianity who have the same experience of they were brought up in a church and all their relationship with the Lord was a checklist and rules and do. And this awakening of it's not about the doing, it's about the loving. And if you do without love, you're actually missing the whole point. I mean, that's kind of the whole point of the book of James, is that love and that faith in him leads you into doing. Faith without works is dead, but also works without faith is dead. It's kind of that same contrast.
I'm sorry, my organ's not working over here. I would love to back that up with some good organ music in the choir. Y'all get up. So I'm super excited. I also want to hear about, you said, the deliverance part of your story.
Well, I will talk about deliverance. It did pop into my head to mention this, but in Romans 12, Paul talks a lot about the body of Christ. And it says in Romans 12:3, he says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And that was a little spill, but I just want to acknowledge, I think people, for me, it's helped me so much with having the religious trauma part, just realizing that no matter what background of religion anyone comes from, or even my brother who's still in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and my parents who are still in that church, I believe that people, it's not about the religion you claim. It's about being in the body of Christ and following his teachings and the biblical teachings that he, taught us on this earth. And instead of having that division, it's I'm not a member of any church necessarily, but I'm a member of Christ, the church that people think of on this earth. Christ's church cannot be destroyed on this earth.
Amen.
And it's not in a building. We make that building. We're the body of Christ. And I think that's so important for people to realize that you don't need to feel so separated. And that's what I've had a hard time with, deconstructing my upbringing and the ideologies that I was indoctrinated when growing up in the Mormon church, because there was so much good and so much love. But there were some false things that, some of my family still believes, but it's not all I don't want to demonize other religions,
Yeah, absolutely.
Other than the ones that are clearly demonic. Yeah. But okay, I can get into my deliverance now. So this was a very built my testimony so much. And I think that's what's made me so on fire for Christ and so bold, because I felt the oppression and torment that I experienced unknowingly even. But so going back to when I, had read that scripture and I decided, okay, I'm going to turn my life to God. This is it. I remember, I think it was that night or the next night, I was getting ready for bed and I felt this very uneasy feeling in my soul. Like, there was no reason for me to feel scared. I usually go to bed and I'm good, whatever. But it was just this weird, eerie feeling before going to bed. And I was sitting in my bed, like, my lamp was still on, and I just felt this, like, energy in the room, just, like, something moving about. Not that I could distinctly see it, and that's where I didn't freak out, because I was like, okay, I don't see anything, whatever. But I swear I started to feel, like, the little parts of my hair on my head start to, like, move a little bit. So ever so slightly, but it's in that sense where I'm like, I cannot deny that this is happening. So that happened. And then I remember throughout the night, I had just like a very, you know, not great sleep, tossing and turning. And I was hearing like gnashing teeth, like teeth chattering. And I won't say it was like necessarily in a physical, I could literally hear it, but I was like, I could hear it. Like, even if it was just this sense of like teeth chattering. And then I was hearing like these groans throughout the night, just that weren't me. And it was just this, experience where I'm like, wow, this is not like, I felt like I was being, you know, just not attacked, but just the sense. And I was just saying all night, I was like, Jesus, please protect me. And then my name, Jesus, please protect me. Please just help me get through the night. So I had that experience, and I remember waking up the next morning sobbing because I felt so scared that night. I felt so scared. And that's where I'd kind of heard of deliverance, but I didn't know anything about it at all. So I was like looking up videos on TikTok and like watching people get deliverance. And, you know, if you've seen those videos, you're like, what? It's so like, out there, people screaming, people like kicking, people is speaking in demonic tongues, just a lot of stuff. So I remember seeing that and I was like, do I have demons? Like, what's going on? I didn't know exorcisms were real. What? So that was like my first kind of introductory to it, I guess. And I just felt this deep sense that I had demonic oppression in my life and that I had opened a lot of doors. I believed that, you know, through the New Age that I had practiced, I opened a lot of doors to entities to really take over my health and my life and my choices. And so I went on this search to get deliverance. So I don't know if you guys have heard of Isaiah Saldivar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He talks a lot on deliverance. And I ended up, he has a, like a deliverance map link. So I remember I was so hungry for deliverance because I was like, after having it, that happen that night, I was like, I need someone to help me. Like, I know that I could have, like, I don't know. And for me, I was like, I want to find like a trusted brother and sister in Christ to help me, like, you know, or a church to help me. I don't want to do this on my own. So yeah, he has a deliverance map and like it's trusted people. And so I found a couple that was near me and I ended up going and driving to their house and they had me like fill out a form before kind of like, you know, talking about what I had struggled with. And it was a number of things, you know, from the New Age that I experienced, the mental diagnoses, the physical ailments, like the, eating disorders in the past, trauma, negative self-talk, just, you know, things that a lot of people struggle with. And I just told them that. And the deliverance, I remember I got there and they just kind of like told me what it would be like and whatever. And then we got into it and I was so surprised because part of me was like, I had watched videos of people get deliverance and I was like, yeah, whatever. And I almost had this sense where I was like, I'm just going to be different. Like nothing's going to happen. And I was almost like kind of sad if nothing would have happened. I don't know if that makes sense. Like I was like, am I just like a ditto? Like, am I just like crazy? But yeah, like I right away, like demons manifested into my body. And so what ties back that ticking that I experienced in the hospital my body started to tick during the deliverance. And I feel like that speaks a lot. That speaks a lot of the correlations of what I was experiencing. And so I started to tick. I guess to explain deliverance to people that don't understand, it's like Jesus in the Bible, in the New Testament, throughout his life, he cast out demons and he healed the sick. And like these demons like can have a hold on your health, on your mental health, on your choices, on your cravings. And throughout the deliverance, Ricardo is his name. He was commanding like these demons to manifest and to, you know, like, and there was one, there were a lot that manifested. And I'd say like that night I came overnight and I thought I'd only be there for like an hour. It was like an hour and a half and I had to go. So like I had to come back to their house like another time to like kind of finish the deliverance. But even like I had never screamed more in my life. I had never like the way that I'll mention one of the demons that manifested was the demon that was causing the mental disorder. The one that was manifesting as that. Oh my gosh. And if you've ever gotten deliverance, I don't know if you guys can agree, but it's like, I was in the driver's seat, like my conscious, me, Alexia, I was in my body. Like I was there, but it was almost like God. And I felt God more than I ever had during my deliverance. Like I felt like he was like holding me during that. And I never felt more held by him and peaceful when those demons were manifesting, because the fear that was manifesting in my body, the crying, the screaming, wasn't of me and my spirit. It was of the demon, because the demon didn't like the demon, the entities did not want to leave. They have assignments. They have protocols. They have things that they're trying to do in your life. And when they get caught, they are fearful because they know like that they're basically screwed if that happens. It sucks for them. So there was one that manifested and Ricardo was just saying like, and he didn't ask a ton of questions because you're not like supposed to, the point of like casting out demons isn't to converse with them. It's only like you ask them what their name is. It's like, you're not trying to like ask a ton of questions, but I remember vividly, like this demon was laughing and it was laughing because it said like, I almost got away with it. I almost got away with it. And Ricardo was like, you almost got away with what? And it was like, I almost got away with making her think she had this disorder. Like her family believed it. She believed it. Like I almost got away with it. Almost got away with it. And it was just laughing. And I remember in that moment, I broke down, because that's when I got flashbacks to being in the hospital alone, completely like abandoned almost. And I know I'm not going to blame that. It's just, I was alone. And thinking about, you know, the amount of time that I spent after hating myself and, you know, being so angry at something that wasn't even my fault. Like I was just hating myself. And at that moment, I just was just so heartbroken that like, and that's why I just hope that this story can reach people who are struggling, who have experienced things like this, because like, it's not like it wasn't your fault. You needed help and you didn't get the help that you needed. And, I had a flashback of that. And there was another really crazy demon that manifested, and it was the spirit of Jezebel. And, she said that she likes to play with my hair during the deliverance, which I thought was just crazy because, you know, like prior to when I had that experience in my room, my hair was like kind of like floating around. No, I'm not going to say it wasn't like floating literally, but I could feel like something different, you know, and I was very, you know, like something was off. So yeah, the deliverance, the first time, and I even want to just preface, like just say this too, these people did not make me pay for a deliverance. And I will say, never go to anyone, never like get deliverance from someone or get baptized. Don't ever, you know, you should never have to pay someone to like have the gift of the, you know, like the Holy Ghost, actually his power is like, you can't prostitute that power and that anointing. But yeah, like I'm so grateful that I could find a couple, like, and Emily, she has the gift of tongues, and throughout the deliverance, she put her hand on my shoulders and speak in her, you know,
gift of tongues language.
And but like, it was crazy because there was a moment where I started to speak in demonic tongues, and I got another flashback from the hospital where before I would go to bed, I would speak in the snake language, like literally. And what's crazy is that like, I have like a memory of that, but in a way, like, I feel like I just blocked that out almost, but like, I was speaking in different languages in the hospital, and those languages started to manifest in my deliverance, which I just thought was really crazy. So that experience, I'd say, like, it was the most freeing experience. And I hate that, like, if people hear about this that don't, like, you know, don't believe in deliverance or think that, I just see, like, people could take it as like, oh, like these Christians are obsessing over demons, like this is demonic or whatever. But it's like, no, we're exposing what the enemy has on us. Like, I think Satan's greatest weapon is for people to think that he's not real, for people to think that he does not have power.
Yeah.
He has power. If you let, like, if you open doors to that, and if the Holy Spirit isn't dwelling in you, he wants your soul. He wants you. And he has the power to do so, especially when you're like opening all these doors.
Yeah. And I love hearing your story. You know, it's interesting because we have interviewed multiple deliverance ministers, and they say by and large, most deliverance sessions are actually not that dramatic. Generally speaking, they're pretty peaceful, and that's by and large the case, but there are examples where things are more pronounced, and you can't necessarily put a pinpoint on why. Sometimes it's more, you know, wild manifestations versus peaceful. My experiences with deliverance have always been very peaceful.
Mine have not.
Oh,
I will. Leave it at that, I guess, for now. Tell that story another day.
You know what I noticed? I noticed that throughout your entire testimony, it's like the enemy wanted to isolate you and make you feel alone. But in all these ways that you probably didn't see coming, it's like God was never that far. God kept showing up. You know, your brother, Stan on the beach, then Stan sending you the Cowboy Bible, the people working in the hospital praying for you. It constantly just reinforces the idea to me the whole time of, at any moment, when we're ready, you know, when we're ready to take that step towards the Father, he is sitting there waiting. He's ready to come running. And the more we talk to you and other people and hear this testimony, it's like the Father wants us. He wants relationship. He wants you, son, daughter, to come back. And at any given time, he's ready. He's ready. And I love your story.
So beautiful.
Well, I really love your story. Before we got to interview you tonight, we were talking about, like, there's so many different directions this interview could go in, because all we got to do was read your testimony, and there's not a lot of space for you to write a ton on your testimony. So it's like, we know she said New Age, but is that like astral projection, spirit guide level New Age, or is that manifesting level New Age? And it's just like, we didn't know exactly where this was going to go, but I just love the fact that the things that you were doing were, or at least what you've told us you were experimenting in and pressing into, seem fairly like normal, like, I don't want to say surface level, but like they aren't like the deep, deep, deep things that you sometimes hear are going on in people's lives. This is like you were just pursuing New Age to try to manifest healings, and you were pursuing New Age for direction in life, and you were pursuing all these things. And then we see the story of your testimony of your deliverance, and it's like, no, even in not going into the deeper levels, well, that you told us so far anyway,
but
these are the doors that opened. even in what you were doing.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like, it was almost like a frog in boiling water. Like, it was the very, you know, light things that didn't seem like it was that deep. And the next thing I knew, I was like in breath circles, like doing shamanic breath work and like doing moon rituals. And like that stuff was normal to me. And, you know, like these things seem at the surface, they seem like they're like light and love and whatever, but it's a lot deeper than that. And it's crazy to me because like now coming out of it, like coming out of the new age spirituality, I realize how much I actually dove into it. Like I never became like a Reiki healer or all this stuff, but I like went fairly deep into like different modalities that like I have this knowledge on it that I didn't even realize that I knew necessarily. So like I'm grateful that I have that point of view, because I'm sure for people who have never gotten into like, you know, the spiritual woo-woo stuff and whatever, how deep or whatever way you branched off, it's like when they see, or, you know, see people say stories like this, they're like, how, like, it just seems so like confusing, or like you don't understand how the enemy works through it. But like now having like, I guess God's perspective, like a godly perspective on it, and like be able to look at it from a different light, I can see, like, you know, for example, I never understood why crystals would be deemed bad, but like it's not them that are bad, but it's the act of, you know, idolizing them, and, you know, the moon rituals, and like basically worshiping the moon, or doing yoga, you're doing sun salutations, and that's a salutation worshiping the sun. So it's been like, I think kind of a blessing in disguise to know now, like the knowledge that I had on New Age, it now kind of gives me like more of a in-depth understanding of why it is not of God.
Mm.
And I always like, yeah.
When we started this wonderful conversation, you said you went into New Age, you know, you're a free spirit, but you were pursuing freedom. Like that was, yeah, that's what that was about. Cause I just got like a poke from the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to follow it and I'm going to ask you the question. And it is obvious from our conversation that freedom is not what you found. But will you please, for a minute, for those listening, you know, those listeners who might still be dabbling or contemplating, will you talk about the freedom you found after you found Jesus? And what that felt like, and what that real freedom manifested as. And talk to those listeners who may still be caught up in that new age, or, you know, dabbling.
Yeah, that's a really good question. The freedom I found in Christ is like this indescribable peace that I never knew even existed. My definition for peace had changed when I was in New Age. Peace when I was in New Age, and maybe even freedom, was just like, it was almost like just getting over a mountain and being able to like take a break for a second. Like it wasn't feeling empowered. It wasn't feeling like I was always going to be okay because I had God. It was like, oh, I finally got over this like huge mountain, and like I thought that I was done, but it would just like keep going. And the freedom that I found in Christ is like just this knowing that like no matter what, like my peace is not attached to anything that could be destroyed tomorrow. Like my peace is in Jesus. Like my peace will never be destroyed, and my freedom will never be destroyed, because everything that I, you know, experienced was bondage. Like you were saying, it was complete bondage, no freedom whatsoever. And that's where like you get I got brainwashed in these ideologies, because up was down and down was up, and black was white and white was black, and good was evil and evil was good, and light was, you know, all of that. It was so, it warped my definition of words even. And yeah, sorry, I just went like, but yeah, the freedom that I found in Christ is that I can come as I am with Christ. I don't need to bring sage to clear the energy. I don't need to bring a rock to, like, you know, I don't need to bring all this stuff. I literally just have Jesus. I have Jesus, and that's all I need. Like it's become so much more simple, and that's what freedom is. And like, and even like I had this feeling like the rebellious spirit in me is like, well, you can't like go and smoke pot, you can't go drink anymore, you can't go and get drunk, and all these things that like I feel like people would say. But at the end of the day, those things don't lead you to freedom. They like, yeah, that's doing whatever you want, but it doesn't lead you to freedom. The things that you think lead you to that don't lead you to that. And that could be with anything, but like, it's just the self-discipline that I've had now with Jesus, and it's turning away, like crucifying my flesh every day. And that's why I'm even so excited to get baptized, because it feels like, you know, it signifies that death of like my flesh. And I'm coming up with like saying, God, let your will be done through me. Like, my body's a sacrifice to you. And I trust that your will for me is good, and it is pleasing, and it is perfect. And like, I trust that. So I guess people who are dabbling in New Age or in it, just know that Jesus is waiting. Like, he's at your door knocking for you. And all you have to do is let him in and be humble and try to just read the Bible, read the New Testament like a child, and just let Jesus speak to you. Let God speak to you. Let him heal your heart. It feels like he washed my heart like in his blood, like in the purest form. And that's like all I can say. And I'm just so happy that like he saved me. Like, every day I thank him, because I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't looking for him to heal me. I did, honestly, when he like knocked on my door so loud that I had to open it in a way, I was like, God, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to feeling like I'm not worthy enough. I don't want to go back to like trying to follow these rules. And that's where I just hope that people can know that like what religion you grew up with, what trauma you grew up with, that wasn't God. That was not God. Find God, seek him, read his word, fast for him, pray for him. It's the most simple thing, but it gets so tainted and so like, it gets so confusing. Like, now in my point of faith, I remember when I turned my life to God, I was like, okay, I'm going to do three things. I'm going to talk to God about everything, read his word, and fast for him. And those were the first three things. And I know you can like get deeper into it, but like those three things have been what has built my foundation, and it's still being built. And I feel like he's called, you know, I feel called to be, I'm just growing with him, and I'm trying to like be patient with that growth. But
Amen, sister.
Sorry.
Come on, Jesus.
That's so good. Oh, I appreciate it.
Oh, you made me tear up on that
one. So authentic. Before we wrap up, before we bring our time here to a close, are there any stories or thoughts or anything that when we reached out to you about coming on the show, you were like, you know what, I want to talk about that, but we just haven't gotten to it yet? Or if there isn't, is there anything that the Holy Spirit might be laying out in front of you? You said you like to go on tangents. Feel free to tangent away. Feel free to go wherever you want to go.
We love those.
Before we close. And this could be a 30-minute, 45-minute closing, or this could be a five-minute closing. Whatever you have and whatever you want to bring to this table, what do you have?
I think what's nagging at me a little bit, and this could turn into something more, but I just feel like today, and for people who are listening, who are believers of Christ, like, no one should have to guess that you are a Christian. No one should have to guess that you believe in God. Like, I feel like more than ever, we need to share our stories. And that's why, like, I wanted to come in and talk about this. And like, I am, you know, willing, I want to share what I've experienced, because there's so much darkness in the world, and it's only getting more and more dark. And like, I just feel this sense that, so like, God is pouring his spirit onto all, for, you know, for us to share and for us to like speak up. And just for me, it's personally like I've had to set aside my ego and set aside my like my safety guard. Cause I mean, even I could send you the link, but I had my deliverance video out on YouTube, but I ended up having Ricardo put that down, but he has a YouTube channel. But like, I also did a interview with him, and I just feel this sense of like, I want to be bold for Christ, because people could say that I'm too extreme. And especially people get super scared of the idea of demons being able to like affect your free will. And I just feel like there needs to be more boldness about it. And like, I just want to have that boldness and like, just want to encourage people to like really share their testimonies of Christ and share their stories, because I think it's so beautiful how every single person has such a unique story of how Christ came and saved them. And I think it's so beautiful that like God has, you know, given us each also so many like individual unique gifts and unique stories that like my story could touch someone and maybe wouldn't touch other people, and your story would touch people. And you know, it's like, it's so individual. And also just like wrapping my head around the fact that, you know, my brother sending that email to me, and that was so scary for him, very bold. And it was like, you planted a seed. And even say if he has talked to anyone else about Jesus and I'm the only person that the plant bloomed, my story touched at least like 80,000 people that liked the TikTok that I posted. And that's not even about number, but it's like just one person. If you can just like, if one person can hear your story and it can be a catalyst, it can plant a seed, whether it's a huge, really like huge awakening or a small one, it doesn't matter. Like, it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God. Like, all glory to him, because he saved us. Like, and that's the thing. I would love to hear your guys' take on this, but like, I have, you know, friends and people say, they're like, how can God allow people to be, you know, raped? And why does he kill people in the Bible? And like, why is this? And he's so evil. And like, I just feel like I've had this realization that like, no, men were born, we were born slaves to sin. Adam and Eve decided to eat the fruit, and we our DNA was tainted, and we are slaves to sin. God is not trying to condone evil. He is trying to, it's a war, it's a battle against evil. God is not like the one that is evil. Like, and I'd love to hear your take on that, actually, because that's been in my heart, and a lot of people feel this way. They're like, God, you know, made Abraham try to like sacrifice his son, and he, you know, wiped out people in the days of Noah and all this, like, yeah. What do you guys think about that?
So, yeah, we live in a fallen world. And to go to the Abraham thing, my grandparents painted that picture for me a long time ago. And it was about the fact of, that's the most precious thing you've got. Would you give that to me? You know, a lot of times I've even heard growing up, you know, we got to lay our Isaacs down. We got to be willing to take this most precious thing to us that, you know, he loved his son so much, and we love things so much sometimes that maybe they even get in the way of God. And God goes, you know, would you give that to me? And I always look at Noah as this awesome, like, he's my favorite Bible character. I love that you bring him up, because he is this great hope. Like, it's almost like God was ready to shake the etch and sketch that was the world and go, nope, we're going to start this thing over. But here's this guy. Here's this guy with this faith who held true. And it's like, you know what? All right, I'm going to shake it, but you get on that boat. He had the faith to build it. You know, he had the faith that God was going to shut the door. And sometimes, you know, hey, Noah was a conspiracy theorist until the water showed up. You know what I mean? Like God said,
yep. Yeah.
There's so many things going on in people's lives, even with that one. You know, a lot of times it's other people don't have to understand when God's doing something in your life, because a lot of times it will speak for itself. When the water shows up, all of a sudden everybody goes, oh, maybe you did hear from God, you know, and then
yep, like,
you got room on the boat.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
with your question about why does God allow things to happen in this world, like rape and genocide and, gosh, pretty extensive list of the horrors of what happens in this world. I go back to our former analogy about the rat poison and how God created this beautiful thing formed in his image, and how the enemy came in and he took this really pure, innocent, beautiful thing and he injected enough poison into it that it became something different. And we humans are no longer what we originally were. We, our hearts are not what Adam and Eve's hearts were before the fall. And God could have, in his sovereignty, decided to just fix it all. But instead, for reasons that I don't understand because I'm not God, as Bill Johnson says, I'm not God, I just work for him.
another reoccurring guest on the podcast, Bill Johnson.
If you're not familiar with Bill Johnson, his teaching is really good.
Good stuff.
I'll have to look into him.
God decided that in the moment of this calamity, the fall of man, he gives the first prophecy that I will raise up a seed, and out of the woman that you think you just deceived, out of the woman that you think you just broke and you got the victory over, I am going to raise a new seed, and I am going to send Christ, and he is going to crush your head under his heel. And I don't understand why this almighty, all-powerful God would make the choice to, instead of just wave his hand or speak a simple word to fix this, he decided to play the long game. But he did. And in a world with all these horrible, awful things happening, it is hard not to question why. But we have to look ahead and understand the fact that God is eternity-minded. And in our, what, maybe 80-year life expectancy, if you're doing all your cardio and taking care of your diet and...
No. 80. No way.
Are we going higher?
I'm thinking on 100. I got good genes.
Oh!
Anyway, don't mind me. Keep going.
If we're looking...
100.
If we're looking at our 80 years on Earth and... we're questioning, how can a good God allow these things to happen on earth? We are losing the perspective of eternity and the perspective of how God will make things right. And there's this principle where sometimes when we talk to people on our show and they share the horrors of what they went through. We had a guest that went through satanic ritual abuse growing up, which means that she was literally tortured in all kinds of ways. Every way you can think of, and a lot that you can't, by a satanic cult. And she said, it was horrible, but I wouldn't change it because of who I am today. I think that when we get into eternity and we look back, we're going to have a different perspective on what this earth has been and why God did what he did and how God did what he did. So I guess that's a long way of saying I don't know, but I cling to hope. And
I love you.
I cling to hope, and Bill Johnson's sermon on God's sovereignty and our response. I need to find that sermon. My wife bought it years ago, so I don't even know if it's like available to the public anywhere. But if you can find it, God's Sovereignty and Our Response by Bill Johnson really helped to shed light on this whole perspective and this whole conundrum of why God allows bad things to happen to good people.
That was the most beautiful I don't know I have ever heard in my life.
That was beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm just remembering, like, God is good. God is good. And like, realizing I just like have real, the power of the devil is real. And that's why I just feel like there needs to be more light shine on it, because the beauty of that is that the name of Jesus, like Jesus, like with him, we can do all things and we have strength through him. And while you were talking about that, I had one last story that I wanted to just share.
Hit us.
About, yes.
We love stories.
Stories are the best.
And
yes.
in Psalms 119, 148, it says, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. Or, you know, like in Psalms, it kind of mentions sometimes like the night watchers or whatever. And like going to my new church, I had a couple sisters in Christ say that God will like wake them up in the middle of the night to pray. And that hadn't happened to me yet. And I was like, well, why? Like, what? That's kind of, but a couple of days ago, I was just like, before I went to bed, and this is why I think I've learned the power of prayer is so, it's amazing when you really know, like understand prayer and that it really does help. Like before I was going to bed, I had this deep sense that I needed to pray for one of my nieces. And so like, I went outside and I was just praying and I was just, you know, praying for it. It was like the sense where like, I didn't even know like what words I was using. Like the Holy Spirit was speaking through me. So that happened and I went to bed, and then I, you know, woke up a little bit later, you know, probably like 1, and I had another person that was on my heart. Like the Spirit was saying, like, you need to pray for her. You need to pray for her. So I prayed. I did like 3 prayers for different people. This had never happened to me. And then I had this, it was kind of like a mixture of this, like I wasn't having visions, but you know, God was really speaking to me throughout the night. And I remember even writing in my notes, like it was so strong, but I just wrote like God is taking me where I need to be taken. God is providing a way for me. Do not stress. And this was like in the middle of the night. And even then I was just having increments of being woken up and saying like, you need to pray for them, pray for this, bind this in the blood of Jesus, bind the spirit of anger, bind the spirit of resentment. You can't cast demons out of someone from far away. Like they have to be aware of it and accept that and, you know, close the doors themselves. But you can bind, from my understanding, you can bind a spirit of resentment. You can bind the spirit of you know, just to kind of like give a little break. So that's what I feel like I was doing. And I was just praying that God could give them peace. And anyways, and then later that night I went to bed, and then I was having kind of this dream where I was telling someone about my deliverance. I was like, yeah, there was a spirit following my family for generations. For 4 generations, there was this spirit, there was this spirit. And I remember in my dream, and even just in my, I got this like sleep paralysis moment where like my body completely just got like, you know, like this, the entities did not like that I was speaking about it. They were like, we don't want you to stop. And then I had this moment of sleep paralysis where I was like, oh, and this is where it was weird, because like, I felt the hold that it had on my body. Like I literally could not move, but even in that moment, I was not scared. And I feel like that speaks a lot where like, when you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and you know the power of Jesus, that does not scare you. It may be a little like, I was a little uncomfortable. I was like, oh, this is kind of a little spooky, but like, I know that Jesus is far more powerful than this. So like I said, I was like, in the mighty name of Jesus, I rebuke you. You are not welcome here. Like, get out. Like in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of the Lamb over my body, over my spirit, over my health, over, you know, all that. And it left instantly, just instantly. And I feel like in that moment, the next day I woke up and I'm like, wow, I just feel like God has taken me through this journey, and I've come up of the other end understanding that, you know, understanding deliverance is such a it's such a blessing to understand that, like, yes, that stuff may be scary and all those like videos of deliverances may be too scary or seem very disturbing, but it's like, no, that is shedding light on what those entities do. And I want to just say, like, the night that I had just barely turned my life to Christ and started feeling that supernatural stuff happen, it was almost like I invited the Holy Spirit within me, and the darkness and the demons could no longer hide. So they started to manifest. Like they could not hide anymore, because you can't serve two masters.
That's right.
So that's why I feel like I realized that that's why they started to manifest, because God, you know, God is going to literally force them out of me. And he did. He commanded them out of me. And it's all within his power.
Come on.
Yeah, it's a come on Jesus moment. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had wondered about, I know your family may listen to this and that they're still part of the LDS church. And you mentioned in that dream four generations and a generational curse. And I had wondered, did you ever get any insight about that drawing from when you were in the hospital of being a little girl with that shadow behind you and what that shadow was?
I kind of believe that it was the spirit of Jezebel. But I can't like say necessarily. I didn't get like complete confirmation, but there was one, the spirit of Jezebel was in it was in four generations of my family. That's what she said. So, yeah. And that's what's hard, is like, even in the Mormon religion, Joseph Smith practiced Freemasonry. He was like a treasure hunter. And even back in the day, it was like mystical, you know, everyone was kind of, you know, that stuff was real. So that's the thing. Like, even generational curses they're real. When, you know, you had Mama Bear.
Yeah,
that's right. I
don't remember what her name was.
Oh, that's perfect.
Pastor Shelley.
Yeah. When you had her on, when she was talking about it, it was just hitting so close home to me, because I was like, yes, this is stuff that is real, but people still just don't think that witches are real. They don't think that generational curses are real. They don't think that stuff is real. It's like something from a fairy tale for other people. And it's like, once you open your spiritual eyes, you're like, no, witchcraft is real. People are putting spells on others. Like, this stuff is real.
Mm. They would prefer that you didn't think it was real, though. Like you were saying earlier, the whole ruse, the biggest trick, you know, the greatest trick is, nah, no way.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think what's been, it's honestly like my relationship with my parents has gotten so much better, because I think for them, they're like, they're just so happy that I have a relationship with Christ. And that's why I want to say that, like, no matter what religion you are, you can be like, it's about being in the body of Christ and not obsessing about like the division of each other. But my parents, thankfully, I've been able to like talk to them about my deliverance, and they are, you know, they believe me, which has been so like such a blessing, because I felt so alone in it before I had other people, you know. And like, you know, being able to talk to you guys, and you understand, you guys have experienced deliverance personally, so you know you have a testimony of it. But yeah, my parents have been really supportive and like believe me, which is, you know, it's been a blessing for sure.
That's amazing.
Because I mean, there's people in my life that don't believe me and think that I'm crazy. So, and that's okay. But I can't like cater to people when, you know, I'd rather, like I said, I'd rather have thousands of people shun me than like God. Like, I want to be God's, not the world's.
Amen. It's like we were talking about earlier. Not everybody's going to understand right away, and that's okay. You keep living it. You keep walking it out with Christ, and your parents are noticing. Other people will notice. And sometimes that's the greatest witness we have, is just to live out that relationship with Christ. It does something that words can't do, because some people have to see the difference. They have to see the change. And what do you do with that? It's like something happened. Something's different in you.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And I feel like the only thing that will show is like, you can tell a tree by its fruits. And like with time, I think people in my life that just think that I'm like going to extreme and I'm going to some other kind of crazy thing, it's like, no, my life is a testament already. Like my physical body has started to heal. Like my PCOS, the symptoms are going away. Things are happening that literally I had been trying months to have happen. And like, I'm healing because I've allowed Jesus to heal me. I've completely shut the doors to the demonic oppression that I was having. So it's been such an amazing, amazing ride. And I'm just trying to like keep that fire for Christ and you know, having this interview has really sparked something again. So I'm really grateful that I could speak with you guys on this stuff.
What a joy. Lexi is. Now, she was actually just baptized this past weekend. We're so excited. She sent us the video. We're going to have to post a link down to that in the show notes, as well as just her TikTok in general, so that you can follow her. You can see all the stuff that she is creating for the Lord. And we are very excited. I also wanted to mention that during this episode, I referenced a sermon by Bill Johnson. I'm going to throw a link down to a YouTube video of that sermon in the show notes as well, so you can go ahead and listen to it, because I think it might just transform your paradigm on God's sovereignty and why bad things happen to good people. But moving on to a little thing we like to do here on the show, it is time for, let's be honest, many of your favorite segment here on Light in the Darkness, where we give a little thing that's called a shout out.
Shout out! Today's shout out comes to us from Nicole Kathleen, and not from the usual route.
This is a brand new way. We've never had a shout out come in this way. Very excited about it.
This is from the Book of Face.
We didn't even know that this was possible for people to give us recommendations for our Facebook page.
Yeah. So guys, if you're hearing this and you're like, well, I don't want to leave you a review on Apple Podcasts. Well, you don't have to. Go to the Book of Face, sometimes called Facebook, and do it there.
You can recommend our page. Going to Facebook, finding the Light in the Darkness page, there's a way you can recommend it. And you know what? I can just hear some of you getting ready to double dab on the shout outs. I know it's going to happen. We're going to have some crossovers from the Apple Podcast to the Facebook, and we're just excited about it.
Oh my gosh. And with all that being said, let's hear what Nicole Kathleen said to us. This is not only spiritually intriguing, but intellectually as well. Thank you for the interesting guests and the spirit-led topics that you cover in your off weeks. Believers need to check this out. I agree. Wow, our first Facebook one. Now, the only thing I am gonna say, there is something we love, and that is the exclamation point.
Did we have any on there?
I don't see a one.
You know what? We're not going to hold that against anyone.
This is new.
Kathleen, it's okay. True. We're not going to hold it against you. It wasn't on the Apple Podcast. If it would have been on there, she would have razzle-dazzled it up. But she didn't expect a shout-out from this. She was just doing this out of the goodness of her own heart.
And we thank you for it.
So we're very excited. We're so excited that we're excited with an exclamation
point. Exclamation point. There it is. We'll just organically put one in. Now, dear listener, if you would like to have us read your shout out, you just found out a new way to do it on Facebook. You can also go to Old Reliable, also known as Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review with as many exclamation points as you want, and we'll read it right here. If you have a testimony you'd love to share with us, if you have a supernatural, paranormal encounters you'd like to talk to us, well, you can reach me and Core at a little place called LITDpod@gmail.com.
LITDpod@gmail.com.
One more time, that's LITDpod@gmail.com. Now, if you want to learn more about me or Core or the heart behind the show, you can find that out at LITDpod.com.
LITDpod.com.
Just in case you forgot, that's LITDpod.com. Guys, we love you. This is awesome. Thank you so much for being a part of this journey with us. We'll do it again next week. Till next time, take care, y'all.
So, there's a little bit of a hot topic brought up earlier at work. And Daniel is of a certain opinion that I categorically believe to be false. And would you care to enlighten that would stick around for the after music scene?
I would just like to translate what you just said. Corey disagrees with what I said, is how most of us would say that.
I don't just disagree. I believe that it to be a lie built upon a throne of lies, in fact, from the father of lies.
Wow.
That you would believe this nonsense.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I know you're all going, what is this deep theological pool we're about to wade in? And that is the topic of celery. Now, I made a statement earlier talking to a loved one, essentially saying, you know, celery, there's not that much to it. It typically will take on the flavor of whatever it's cooked in. It adds a nice texture to what it's put in because let's even go, it gets darker. It gets darker. What brought us to that? Well, something that's a little more near and dear to my heart, and that is stuffing versus dressing.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. See, this only keeps...
We agree on this one. The celery stuff, you're completely off on. It has a lovely flavor. You can eat it four different ways. You have the celery stalk, you have the celery leaves, you have the celery root, and you have celery seeds, all used culinarily for different purposes.
Wait.
Celery is chock full of flavor.
Dear listener. Sweet
Emma tried to say it tasted like dirty water earlier, just really rankled my gears.
Dear listener, I know you're reaching for that button to pause it or potentially stop following us to unsubscribe. I promise you, this is the beginning and the end of vegetable talk because it's irrelevant and has no place, just like celery in any dish or on any plate.
Daniel just manifesting because there was some talk at work earlier of maybe me walking away from LITD Pod for a season to pursue a new podcast on celery and celery related things with our friend Matt from episode three, the celery sessions with me and Matt from The Winged Beast. We were talking about all the virtues of celery. Matt started dropping great knowledge, trivia fact, which of these three flavors of Jell-O was actually never a flavor? You have cola, you have celery, and you have apple. Which one of those, Daniel, was never actually a flavor of Jell-O?
Dear listener, I know what it is you're asking of me right now. I know what it is you want from me right now. And I love you enough to do it. Hit the button, Corey. Stop this madness now and end this tomfoolery.